Hello, I'm Assistant Head of School for Academic Affairs, Stefan Eady, and welcome to the Darlington Podcast. Today, I'll be talking with our Fine Arts Department Head, Kim Tunnell. Thank you all for joining us.
Welcome to the Darlington Podcast, a production of Darlington School in Rome, Georgia. Join us as we take a look inside and outside our classrooms and connect with students, teachers, alumni, and more.
Well, hello, Kim. Hello. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to talking with you. It's kind of strange. I feel like we've known each other for so long that the first question is odd to say, tell me about yourself. But not me. Just tell our listeners who may not be as familiar with you as I am about yourself, you know, your background, and maybe even thinking way back to when you first came to Darlington, what that was like.
Absolutely. So I'm finishing up year 23, which seems insane, really. When I think about it, the journey has been so fast, but then I think along the way it's also been long. So I first came to Darlington. Dan Bishop, we'll go to throwback, Dan Bishop, choral director, guru, department head here. He and I had worked together, had gone to conferences together, and he had an opportunity, you know, we had some conversation. He wanted me to come and see what was going on at Darlington. So I came and did some observations and actually did some evaluating for his program in early 2000. Hmm. And had the opportunity from that to have conversation, and he was really looking for someone to take on the middle school program, and that would be choral music. So one thing led to another, some conversation was had, and at the time I had been in public school and actually had been off for a year after my second child was born. So I started working at Darlington the school year 2001-2002, part-time. I came on campus for an hour and a half a day, and I taught general music.
We were just luring you.
It was awesome. It was general music for a group of sixth graders. And then
this will
I taught
easy.
Now here seventh you are. And eighth grade, yeah, seventh and eighth grade chorus. And so I had the girls and the boys, and we had about 60 kids that wanted to come sing during a lunch period.
How fun.
And they would walk up from the old middle school and come to the chorus room. And at that point, we had added the chorus. We'd taken over both of those rooms.
Yeah, it was
at
like
the bottom
a little student activities.
Yeah,
room.
It was, mm-hmm. Up until that year. And I, you know, got to be a part of that transition, moving the, because the band room had been divided into a choral space and
yes,
a band space
yes.
With a wall. They took the wall down, let the band have one room, and then we took on the chorus room, you
yeah.
know, for sure.
Right.
So anyway, I came on, and for that year, I taught a year of the chorus and the band. The chorus class and then the general music class, so sorry. But so that was a great experience. It was amazing to come on campus. You know, I was kind of isolated. I didn't connect with a lot of other things. I was on the upper school campus, but I taught middle school. So it was a little bit of a disconnect in some ways, but the following year I added a drama class, and at that point Jack Tunnell started coming to school with me, and he actually was over at the lower school, started first grade, and I guess
this is your not your oldest, your
yeah
your,
my
your,
oldest
he's your oldest,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I had Hillary at the time, she was in preschool.
Okay, yeah.
And so and then that year was the year that I was pregnant with Sarah. And so my second year, we, you know, ended up with a third child. And by that time, I was able to add another class. And so that's when Jack came along. And I taught two and a half classes, chorus and general music and drama. Mm-hmm. So, and then I taught drama up in the black box with Susan Stout. And she and I led that group, and we had a good old time.
This is a Wayback Machine.
It is a Wayback Machine.
I had forgotten you did those drama classes.
Yes, yeah. Loved those drama classes. I had done that in public school mm-hmm. with my middle school job at Pepperell, and really enjoyed it. So did that for a while, and then eventually had the opportunity to be the lower school music teacher for a year. And I was over there for a year. After that, I had the opportunity to interview. Dan Bishop was leaving, so I had the opportunity to interview for the director of fine arts. And at that point, Tom Whitworth wanted to really trying to balance out that director idea of, you know, we have an athletic director, we need a fine arts director. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very interesting. I had the opportunity to be an interim, and that's how I was hired.
Okay.
And so I did it for that year, and that was the year actually that we moved the lower school over, or the fourth and fifth grade over to Thatcher. So yes. We were opening a new building. All of that, you know, it was a busy, busy time. And so that was my first year as interim director of fine arts. And I had the opportunity to, after that interim period, was able to do the position. I guess it was 2009-ish. So have been doing it since then, and have enjoyed, you know, the idea was that it was the whole school, pre-K through 12. So within that, you know, we had another child, so I've had the opportunity to have my children here with us. Of course, they're good and gone now, but, you know, have a graduate of 2015, 2018, and then 22.
All three.
Yeah, all three. And, you know, and then my husband works here.
And now your husband works here.
I know, so he's been here.
Your takeover is complete.
I know, it is, for sure. And you know, it's interesting. I think it's such an investment that we made, but it's been a great partnership for our family, you know, and I have to say that for many, many reasons. So I get to do what I love, which originally was music, but I think I have found that I have such a creative longing. It's a desire, I think, to teach that process. And I think that I never knew that about myself, and also being a leader, I think. You know, when I was in public school, one of the things I got to do is early on, somebody said, why don't you be principal for a day or something like that. I had the opportunity that I'd done teacher of the year and some of those different things in public school. And it gave me people gave me opportunities. And I think that's what I've had a chance to do here at Darlington too. So it's professionally, it's been an incredible place to be. And then also personally, to have my family here and to have had the opportunities that we've had as a family as well.
You've overseen many, many changes.
Yes.
I'm happy in my role. I get to work with you because you have lots of great ideas, and we have to figure out how to make them happen. And
right.
We do. You do most of that work, which is great. And I think you look at it as, you know, been given a lot of opportunities. And I think another way of looking at that is we've been able to extract a lot of good things from you, and you've been able to help us grow as a school. And I think that was pretty wise on Tom's part, the previous head of school here at Darlington, to see the need for that. You know, but and you know, you do hear a lot about arts programs at other schools at sometimes getting deprioritized. And it's really kind of cool to think that the opposite was happening here, and that there was a recognition that the arts program was so significant that we need to make a program. And I think that's worth talking about for just a little bit. So you know, considering your background now, let's think about the arts at Darlington, because it's more complicated maybe than some people think. So we're having department head podcasts, is what this is. So that is part of your role, is the arts discipline at Darlington, in terms of thinking about classes and those kind of things. But it's also pre-K through 12, which is sometimes different than our departments. And it's the program is broader. There are other opportunities, things outside of class, after school and such, that encompass that. So tell us a little bit more about how you manage. Let's talk about what that program is. Help us kind of put some boundaries around what the arts program is here.
Absolutely. So we have three sort of categories and programming that we work through. One, of course, is performing arts, and I think that encompasses anything with music. And then also with theater. So anytime a student is singing or playing an instrument, anytime they're performing or helping in some capacity with a theater experience, then that is your performing arts. Then of course we have visual art, and that is that area of, you know, the 2D, the 3D, anything that we're doing pre-K through 12 that is allowing students to create that aspect of things using so many different mediums, mm-hmm. but that form of expression with visual art. And then we also have communication arts, which we sometimes don't think about, really is how we tell stories. And it's journalism, it's yearbook, But at those lower levels, it's also, you know, the wax museum in some capacity. It's telling that story of any and everything that is going on or has gone on. So those are the three areas. So performing, visual, and communication arts. And I think within that, we have classes that we offer, of course. Performing arts, we're starting as early as pre-K with general music. And we are having that opportunity also with the visual art. When we think about the journalism and some of that stuff, we can get detailed. But I think when we think about the integration that we're doing with any and all of the things we do with iPad, whether they're making recordings, whether they're doing presentations of their own storytelling. I noticed that even this weekend, some of the things that Miss Deaton does with her, representation of about me, you know, they're starting to learn to tell their stories so early. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and we integrate that so well. I think, you know, it's not just fine arts. It's not just in their academic classes. It's, you know, or the other parts of their academic classes. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that we start very, very early, and we want that to be a part of the story all the way through. So those are the three areas. And as I said, the classes that are offered are giving students a place. We value it, so we make it a part of their school day. We're not asking them to come outside of the class. And so it is equally as important as the reading, as the writing, and it's valuable because the crossover is allowing those students that creative aspect of their brain, the right or left side. You can get into all of the different scientific explanations of all that.
Yes.
But we value that, and we make sure that students are getting that food, so to speak, that nutrition. Really, it's at the end of the day, is what it's all about. There's play in it at the same time as early as pre-K all the way through, and we want them to have joy, something that brings them that aspect of really diving in a little bit more and finding those aspects of some skills even that they have.
Yeah, so staying in the school day for just a minute. So we have classes per se, like mm-hmm. you start class, you end class. We have those kind of arts classes, whether they're enrichments that are down in the lower grades up to the high school, where there are classes that they may sign up for. There's a required arts elective, and there's many of our students take more than one of those during their career here. But as you mentioned, there's this integration component, which is also, I think, worth just focusing back on for just a minute. I think about, probably a lot of people would think about the plays mm-hmm. in the lower grades would be part of that. So there's a, call it an integration, or it's definitely a partnership in mm-hmm. those particular events. That we do, and I know that goes up. So just go into that for just a minute, you know, because you've been very purposeful about arts integration here in the last few years.
Yes, well, I think that's a great opportunity to think about it, and it kind of holds a lot of categories. I think about the kindergarten play, which always gets us excited and connected to the holiday season. That's kind of our first play that we put on, and I think first of all, it's telling a story. Secondly, it's given them a chance to speak in front of a group of people, to sing in front of a group of people, a skill set that we want students to be comfortable with for a long time. Pre-K's doing theirs in 3 weeks. They're doing their Rome and telling the story of Rome in a few weeks, and it's the same thing. It's that first opportunity to stand in front of a mic, or it's the first time to memorize, to improvise, which is always a part of memorization. How can you tell the story if you forget a word or you forget that piece? So the skill set that it's building at the same time that it's also telling the story, that they're at the same time learning to be musical, and the rhythms and the pieces of a new piece or a new song that they've learned, the process, it's really all about the process. And then at the end, you get this wonderful performance presentation thing that's a result of all the things that had to happen along the way. And the partnership, I think the integration comes from the teachers working together to figure out what that child needs in that given moment, whether it's during the rehearsal, whether it's, when you know that child might need something a little extra along the way to support them and their success. And at the end of the day, that's our job, is to really make sure that students are successful in those experiences. So the class plays are a perfect example of integration. It's a crossover, and there's a lot being accomplished. I think if, you know, the list could go on and on and on.
Sure.
Oh, that got done then. You know, yeah. But I think
This idea of, like, being able to put yourself in uncomfortable situations is throughout probably the daunting experience, you know, pushing our students through that to learn some real life experiences. And that one has always been an ongoing theme with those plays. Like,
yes.
You hear that a lot. And
yes.
I can think of so many examples. I can think of one in particular. We won't name the student, but I remember somebody in pre-K, kindergarten at least, you know, who's so terrified to go up there, we had to put sunglasses on him, and he kept his eyes closed the entire time. And then flash forward, I believe it was a arts performance, an open mic, and watching that same student as a senior perform alone, singing on stage, very courageously, much more bravely than I could have. And, you know, it's just, we have a lot of those moments at Darlington, and I remember that one, and you made me think about it in that story you were just telling.
Oh, absolutely. There are many of those stories, and I think the value there of being a part of that journey for that individual student. You know, we have a lot of times that students don't try something until late in their high school career.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always looking back on, I wish I had done it earlier or sooner, you know,
right.
So that I could have enjoyed it even more.
Right. Well, real quick, we talk about in the school day. Let's talk about outside for a little bit.
Absolutely.
You and I talked about athletics just a minute ago and how arts is similar to it. And I think it's more simple for us to think about an athletic performance. That's that game.
It is.
But there are arts performances that are the same thing. Like, there's a moment we must get up there and perform.
Right.
And try to do our best. And people are watching. And it's also time to kind of show what we've learned. All the work. Often, we know, comes before that.
Right.
It's the same in arts, right?
Yes.
So talk a little bit about what those arts performances are like, some of the things we may not think about, and also some of the opportunities students have outside of class.
Absolutely. So as a part of, I'd say, band and orchestra and choir, you, of course, have concerts, and we do those seasonally. We always have something in the fall. Winter usually is around the holiday season, and then spring coming up. And we try to do those purposefully, too, so that we can support students and families in the right place. I think, you know, we do concerts at that 3-5 level, pre-K-2. All of the different cohorts have that opportunity. And then strategically, programmatically, you've got an opportunity. We're getting ready for an orchestra concert this spring, a band concert, and a choir concert. So it ultimately gets them to that separatist type experience,
mm-hmm.
too, so they can really see the value of their program.
Mm-hmm.
So I think concerts are that way. We also have competitions that, you know, are and festivals and adjudications that allow us to kind of evaluate these programs at the same time, a little bit outside of that. And that's something that we are going off campus to do and participating in those things. And then, of course, we have musicals. You know, right now we're in the throes of a 3-8 musical, The Lion King Jr., that's going to be happening in the Black Box the end of April. And this is, you know, volunteering your time. You audition for these parts, and you really put yourself out there individually. We have 48 kids. I don't know how it's all going to come together, but it's going really, really well.
That musical has really grown over the years.
It really has, and we're very excited about this show. I've been thrilled with the student leadership that we've had from the upper school. You know, it's really a collaborative experience for these kids, and the value is telling. I think that's the part that we're still telling that story right now, and I'm looking forward to seeing that one on stage. Of course, the musical and the fall play that we do at the upper school. And then we have a 6-8 drama production that we've added to the programming of the art block that happens during the school day as well. So, you know, doing 4 productions, like full-blown events with all of the lighting, all of the sound, all of the things, has been quite an accomplishment. And such, I just feel like it's been a really neat opportunity to kind of extend those experiences outside the school day. It's a lot to be proud of. I think for the size of our school and the size of our student body, I think it represents us well. that along with the concerts and all of the things that we do outside of the school day really is, I think, a rich experience that is comparable to the athletics and the sports events that are happening off campus. We do have some other things, you know, within the 3-5 after school program, we are sometimes offering guitar. We've offered, our Arts Academy provides opportunities for students to take lessons.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the lessons, or get you to talk about the Lessons Academy.
Absolutely. So, you know, having Jordan Walker, who has helped us through an interim time with them as a music teacher, but then she teaches piano after school every day and has, you know, 25 to 30 students who are coming on campus, staying after school and have an opportunity to take piano lessons. And that's been huge. We offer voice, and we've had some students take other instruments as well. And it's, I think, an extreme value to be able to have that. I think parents have enjoyed and appreciated us offering those types of experiences to foster that student growth and that experience outside of their academic day as well.
Yeah, so I think when you talk about a performance, I know that you're thinking about all the elements of the arts that go into the why for that. So that's curricular, for lack of a better word, right? You, I mean, everything is leading up to that moment. It's preparation, it's skills based, which is how our curriculum works here at Darlington, our priority at least. And this is very skills based for you too. So your students are not just prepping to entertain us,
right.
Although that's grand and we enjoy that. But that is a moment. That is a you know, a formative or summative, sorry, moment in the work that went into in all the classes and all the preparation that came before that. And I know the arts has a curricular approach to things, so maybe you could just talk to us a little
Absolutely.
Bit about the behind the scenes of how you're planning for all this to work out.
Absolutely. So when we think about we have curriculum maps for every single one of our classes, just like science, just like our world language classes. Everything has that curricular piece. And the words that we think about in our curriculum planning is the creating aspect of things, how the students respond, how they present, or that performance element of things. And we want to make sure that the value is not, I guess the beauty of it is it's not going to be the same every single time. And students are prepared for that aspect of things, you know, that it is skills based so that they know what to do with it every time we get there. So I think the purposefulness of how we support each of our classes, we want to make sure that those elements are included all the way around. So when you think about the other one is the connecting aspect of things. We want our students to connect the experience they're having in the arts class with anything and everything that's outside of that experience as well. Because we know that as soon as a student connects with something, it becomes more real, it becomes more valuable, it motivates, all of those things. So, you know, I think when we think about that skills-based curriculum, yes, when you think about performing, that's a piece of it, but there's also presentation. Performing is easy when we think about music, but we don't perform visual art, but we do exhibit, mm-hmm. and we put all kinds of things out for students to have an opportunity to present their work. We also ask them to reflect on it. Kathy O'Meara is an incredible example of that. She always makes sure that students are reflecting on the process of how they got to where they got to. You know, how did you end up with this piece? You know, what motivated you to create this? I think in music, we do the same type of things. We're always asking, okay, that didn't go so well, but this went incredibly well. How did that, first of all, how did it make you feel? But then also, how do you learn from those experiences then to be better prepared next time that you know it's going to happen?
Right.
So that skill is so incredibly important.
Yeah.
And I think...
And it fits in with how we teach or how we have students learn at Darlington.
Yes. You know,
we discover something new, we apply, we practice,
yes.
and then we reflect on it.
Right.
And then we do it again.
Yes.
And that cycle of learning, mm-hmm. as we call it.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Now, one thing that you you touched on a little bit, I want to revisit very quickly, was that there's so many opportunities for students to get involved in the program, but it is also a lot of opportunities for a faculty to get involved in the program. So you mentioned, for example, a good one is the middle school musical that's going on now, and we have a lot of teachers.
Yes.
That would, and but they're not arts specific faculty, but there are opportunities for lots of people to get involved. So let's just talk very quickly about some of the teachers in the department, outside the department, maybe go through the ones in those three areas you're talking about.
Absolutely. So for visual art, we have Jennifer Tome, who teaches our pre-K kindergarten, first grade art classes, and then jumps up and teaches the middle school. So she, of course, brings an incredible component of 3D because she is a practicing artist and does a lot with that. So it's wonderful to have her in the classroom. Christina Kopp as well. She also teaches second through eighth grade. And, you know, her creative process is amazing to watch as well. And she contributes right now. She's helping us with the musical, you know, and making sure that we have a lot of mask and 3D things that are happening in this show. So Christina is helping us with that. And then Kathy O'Mara, who is, you know, a legacy here at Darlington,
yes.
who has taught so many students and have been a part of that visual art experience for so many. And she, you know, brings that value of really finding that creative process for every child. So, you know, that's what offers in visual art. In our performing world, Damon Harvey's leading our band program right now. He's doing an incredible job with beginning in fourth grade all the way through 12th grade. Right now, we're introducing him to third graders right now so that they can have an opportunity to really think about what they want to do next year. We've added a music teacher since Christmas, Sarah Alt, who came to us from Maine, but she's been a great addition, and really you can tell she partners well with faculty and colleagues, and has really, you know, taking just in a few short months an opportunity to connect with our students in the music program. Alex Johnson leads our choral program 6 through 12 and gets to partner with Sarah, so that's a great team to watch as well. And, you know, LGPE, we just got back from the Choral Festival, and they did an incredible job there. So she's been with us. This is year 4 for her. And so that's been, you know, fun to watch her lead in that capacity. Annie Camp has been here a while, and she leads our string program starting in 3rd grade and going all the way through 12th. You know, she offers that individual attention to students who really want to broaden that skill as a string player. Shelley Daniel, of course, leads our theater program, and she starts with 6th graders and goes all the way through. I think she's getting to that point now that she has really seeing the benefit of some of these experiences that she's been a part of through 6th through 12th grade. And that's been valuable. Jennifer Bagby, we always love that she crosses over between admissions and our string program and works with Annie Camp, and we really appreciate her help along the way as well. In communication arts, we have Doug Hamill, who helps us out in graphic design, and he's you know, always helping us with projects all along the way. And then, of course, Ethan Pender, who came back last year and is leading the journalism and yearbook program and has done a really... He's investing and really learning so much more about Darlington from another side, but he's been able to come back and really, you know, give some energy and some important aspects to the program based on his experience. And you know, he's always wanting to learn outside of that as well. So yeah.
And getting top honors for publications.
Correct.
From last year. Best yearbook in the state.
Absolutely. Very proud of that.
It's really good. Yeah, quite a great team there.
Mm-hmm.
Not only practicing artists
Correct.
Themselves that with experience outside the classroom, but also people who are devoted to teaching future artists.
Yes, and I think, you know, with the musical, what we're finding is, you know, we have folks like Kimmy Pichardo, who has a background in theater, who has been in Darlington before. She's helping us with the 3rd through 8th grade musical. Jen Lutwiler's helping us with costumes. And then Melissa Smiley, of course, is leading the group as well. And Sarah Ald is helping us with that as well. But it's quite a team. And so I think, you know, we want to use any and everyone's strengths, especially when they want to contribute creatively. We
yep.
will take it.
So much going on.
Yes.
I think we're delivering that impression, and
yes.
it's good. And there's so many more things we could talk about, and we'll run out of time today. Travel was one of those things that sometimes people don't think about. You're on the road a lot. We had a trip over spring break.
Yes. To New York for the Columbia Scholastic Press Association conference,
right?
Which is a mouthful, but we try to capitalize on that for really exposing students to a variety of things. You know, with that trip, not only is it the conference, but They get to see see the sights and learn more about, you know, every time you travel, you learn more.
Yeah, and there's a cultural aspect
Absolutely.
Of this too, not only in contributing to it, but learning about it. And, you know, we're creating, you know, well-rounded
Correct.
Human beings that are ready to go tackle the world. And that's the great part of it.
Absolutely.
Just learning how to get on the, navigate your way on the subway.
Yes.
Sometimes a great skill.
Yes, it is.
Whether here or abroad. So yeah, it comes with its own challenges. So let's just get reflective on our own here as we close things up. Think about your art students here. What are your hopes for art students here as they leave Darlington, or as you consider how they're going to be prepared to go do things outside of Darlington?
Well, I think it's interesting right now. I'm very much have that on my mind. We always open up this time of year to seeing who of our seniors are going to pursue the arts, you know, whether it's a major or a minor. And I think sometimes our students don't realize what careers or what my majors in college actually have an arts component. You know, whether it's that graphic design element, they may not have taken a class here, but they've had some experiences that are giving them that interest. But helping them to understand that the skills that they've had are going to cross over into that area. And I think at the end of the day, our goals are to make sure that the students have an enriching experience, a student experience. And we talk about that in our philosophy, you know, at Darlington here. You know, that's such a huge part of what we're trying to accomplish. And so I think being able to articulate that is something that I want to do better. I think, you know, this year with our branding and some of the things that we've done to really kind of purposefully give our department some focus and some direction with some theme work, and then at the same time really just how are we putting ourselves out there, how are we showcasing our students in a way that is actually doing what we think it's doing. You know, sometimes we think we're publicizing something and it's not getting anywhere, but how are we showcasing our students and really, really partnering with them and making sure that they have the best experience. So that's probably my biggest hope and dream, is that we are doing it in a way that it's being received and going to the right places. You know what I mean? I think we're so caught up in that social media aspect of things that we're just always wanting to put things out there. But sometimes it's not perceived in the way that we think it's perceived, or, you know, it's not getting to the places that we want it to get. But I think really being able to celebrate and show what our students are capable of and the successes, you know, I think that's something that's really important to me. And I think it's important to our department.
Yeah. And I think the brand, I'm glad you brought that up, the branding work from this year, this is new this year, mm-hmm. That you did has been really not only exciting, but I think important for your program. I mean, you know, there's a cool new logo.
Right.
and that helps.
It does.
I've seen it on the shirts and the programs right. and the calendars and such. But also this that you all have sort of solidified your purpose and mission within that, some language
right.
and those kind of things. And I know alum helped you work on that.
Yes. And finding those places, I think that's a perfect example. Having that opportunity to work with Xavier, bringing her in and connecting with the students, which was her goal. You know, she really wanted to make sure that those connections were made. We think we know what all is involved, and some of those things happen organically, but I think we just want them to have the best experience. That really, at the end of the day, I think when you take everything else away, we just want it to be the best experience they can possibly have.
Great experience and great outcomes. We
yes.
talked about that across the board.
Yes.
And arts is right in there with it. So catch all, perhaps, anything else you want to mention, but future of the department. I mean, there's a lot going on already, but maybe real quick to finish things up, think about the future.
Yes. I mean, I just think the continued support, I think, you know, making sure that students know what opportunities are there, and making sure that we don't miss an opportunity to make sure that that happens for those students.
Yeah, and I like what you said about wanting to share more about the program. It's funny to say, you know, you talked earlier about how you're teaching how to tell stories, and you also have to tell your own story.
Yes.
So it's kind of a built-in challenge there, which I think is fun. And you also talked about how different people interpret things differently, and that is art. You know, you present your art, and you let people gain from it what they will, and you're doing a lot of that. And I think for our community, just to say, be a part of it.
Yes.
Come in and experience it however you will, but experience it, because there's so much that you all have to offer.
Yes, yes, definitely.
All right, very good. All right, some quick questions then to round this out. You don't technically teach a class, although you do a lot of teaching. You're in classes, but you're not listed as the primary teacher on these. You have all these people we've been talking about. But you do work with the 7th Grade Leadership Institute.
I do. I've been a part of that for the last 2 years, and it's a great program. And once again, the connections that are made in that leadership class that are tied to some of the other things that I do as a leader on campus has been really valuable. But I really enjoy being in that classroom and team teaching with other colleagues. It's really been a fun experience for me. So,
awesome.
Yes.
All right, a couple other quick questions. Mm-hmm. What instruments do you play?
So I play piano, and I recently learned to play the organ a little bit. I, of course, sing. Long ago, I played the clarinet, but that's about all I have to offer.
I swear I've seen a string instrument in your hand.
Well, I have learned to play the violin a little bit. Yes, I actually have learned to play a little bit. I'm out of practice for a minute, but that is something I've enjoyed dabbling a little bit. And because I think if you as an adult don't understand what is going on in that experience of teaching a student a new instrument, it is quite a challenge. And I think it really allowed me to have that perspective. So I've enjoyed that.
Brilliant. Other support for other arts outside of Darlington? You're affiliated with a few things?
Yes. I have always had a church job. So that's something that just has already, you know, has been a part of me. But outside of that, I am involved with the Rome Symphony Orchestra. I'm actually president-elect for next year, which we'll see how that goes.
Lucky you.
I know, but I have enjoyed the partnership with that organization. I think the ties that we try to have with some of the events here on campus that we support for that program, and then also the educational aspect. That's really why I wanted to do it. At the end of the day, I think for Rome, that's an organization that brings a cultural aspect to a real value to Rome and Floyd County, being one of the oldest in the South. So I think it is the oldest in the South. So, you know, it has a legacy, and it really ties to some of the philosophy that we have as an organization, you know, at Darlington. So I think I've enjoyed being a part of that board. And
nice. It's wonderful when the symphony comes to campus to play in the summer. It's become a tradition.
Absolutely.
And when we get to go out and perform in the auditorium or once or twice at the Soto, there's kind
of lots of partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good. Well, thank you. That's great. Hopefully our listeners have now got a pretty good impression of like how robust the arts department is. And there's so much going on behind the scenes. And it makes such a huge impact on the school. And I can't imagine what we would be like without it. I think it's just a huge part of our portrait of a graduate. So thank you for your work. Thanks for that contribution. Thanks for leading it and making Darlington better in all these many ways. So on behalf of everybody, thanks for your time today as well.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us today on the podcast. Stay tuned for more episodes highlighting our department heads. We're glad that you tuned in to today's episode of the Darlington Podcast. Tune in each week wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. You can check out today's show notes at darlingtonschool.org/podcast. If you have questions about today's programs or ideas for a future episode, send us an email to communications@darlingtonschool.org.
The Darlington Podcast, a production of Darlington School in Rome, Georgia, is a collaboration between the communication and advancement teams, and the intro music is alumni produced. See show notes and hear more episodes at www.darlingtonschool.org/podcast.